Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday Live, brought to you by Solar City, your source for clean, sustainable energy. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. Mikey Ramone joins us next, so stay tuned. It's going to be a great show today. Well, before our first guest, I wanted to warn everybody that there is some construction going on outside our building, right outside our building. Our soundproofing is blocking most of it, but once in a while, the concrete saws penetrate even our walls and the soundproofing that's on our walls. So if you hear some funny noises out there, that's what's going on. It's Los Angeles making this a better place to live. And the other thing that soundproofs, the soundproofing for some reason isn't quite getting all of is the beep, 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 beep when the big construction things move in and out. But hopefully we'll be okay. Also, I want to tell everybody this is for my Los Angeles listeners. This is tonight in Los Angeles, two of our past guests and both friends of the show are going to be playing at 333 Live in DTLA, down on Boylston Street in downtown L.A. It's a show by Mitre, who was on last week, and he's going to be joined by Irene Diaz, who, of course, has been on a couple of times, and she's a wonderful torch singer. Mitre combines Mexican music forms and rock and ballads, and he's got a golden voice, and you all heard him last week, so if you're in L.A. tonight, I would get down to 333 Live on Boylston Street and catch the show. It's going to be a great one. Mitre's the headliner. Irene joins him on a number of songs, and there's going to be a lot of other special guests, too. So that's 333 Live in downtown L.A. And incidentally, I just learned that Irene is going to be opening for Oza Motley on an upcoming tour. Boy, I love to see that kind of success. You know, we're here to promote new bands and to talk about to talk with some of the classics. But I really love it when new bands or bands that we've promoted, you know, maybe a year ago when I think we first had Irene on, start getting very successful. So congratulations to Irene and also congratulations to Mitre. That's going to be a great show. 333 Live, of course, is a big, big place. So you're going to have a great time if you get down there tonight. I would suggest you check online and get some tickets in advance. And, of course, you can get both of their you can only get Irene's music online because I don't think Mitre has released the album yet. When he does, we're going to have him back on the show. But you heard a little cuts of it recently, and you can hear some streaming online. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, Mikey Ramone joins us. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
We're back. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan. I'm your host here at Music Friday Live. And I want to welcome all of our radio stations around the country, the stations who are on the CyberStation USA network. And I want to say a special welcome to our friends in Oregon up there. So hi, everybody in Oregon who's listening to us today. I understand there's some new towers there. Also want to tell everybody, if you have questions or comments for our guests, you can call us at 347-215-7511. That's 347-215-7511. Or you can email your questions. You know, if you're sitting there at work and you've got your headphones on, and you're not really paying attention to that PowerPoint that's on the screen that your boss thinks you're working on, email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on a podcast, and I know a lot of you will be, you can still email your questions to our guest. We will forward your questions to them, and they can reply directly to you. We'll remove your email address so you don't get on somebody's email list you didn't want to, unless you tell us differently. So you got lots of ways to communicate with our guests. Speaking of our guests, in 1978, a young man by the name of Mark Bell was asked to take over the drums from Tommy Ramone in the early punk band The Ramones. Well, the rest is history, as The Ramones became one of the most famous and respected bands in modern time. A new book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone, tells that story as it happened through the eyes of the one remaining member of the band, Marky Ramone. And Marky is here with us today on Music Friday Live. Marky, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thank you for having me. Thanks for that introduction. Very nice.
Well, Marky, it's always great to talk to another radio guy, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Thank you.
I also love talking with authors, and you have written a really good book.
Thank you.
I've read it twice. And,
wow.
People get obsessive about things occasionally, but actually it not only reads well, but it kind of feels well. It feels like it's the truth. So how did you make sure that you avoided kind of the errors and exaggerations of all the other books that are out there about the Ramones?
Well, I was there. I observed 15 years being in the group, obviously the other members, and 1,700 shows. So, yeah, you can't make that stuff up. What's in the book is definitely for real, including myself, you know, the brutal honesty about what I went through. And, you know, you live and learn in observations about yourself. So that's what the book really consists of. It's very comprehensive, and it was time to write it. I wanted, because I read all the other books, and, you know, I'm not going to critique them or whatever, but this is the real deal. In those books, no one was really around except for our tour manager. So the other books, I just kind of, you know, just take it like, you know, with a grain of salt. This is the inner circle of being in the Ramones. And, you know, they were my brothers, bandmates, and, you know, obviously business associates. And like families, you get to know each other very well. So that's what that whole thing is about.
Well, that's one reason why it's such a good read and why it was definitely worth reading twice. Now, I worked my way through college partly as a collaborator on books for celebrities, business and politics. So I understand that what you did is not an easy process. And I know you went through two collaborators before you found Richard Hirschlag.
Yeah.
So how did you two work together?
Well, the first two collaborators didn't get my the way I talk in the book. They were a lot different than what Richard put down on words to paper. It sounds like me the way he wrote it, and that's important to engage the reader when he's writing a book, when he's reading a book. So he definitely nailed it, and the book has 400 pages. And it definitely sounds like me, and I wanted the reader to feel like he was in the inner circle too, or she was in the inner circle. So I wanted that feeling in the book, you know, from my childhood all the way up to when I won the Grammys and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and my time in the New York scene, on the punk scene with CBGBs and Max's, as if the person was with me all along as he's reading it.
Well, you achieve that. In fact, that's one of the outstanding things about this book is the voice in the book. It reading it is like talking with you and hearing your thoughts going on at the same time. Now, was it hard to open yourself up like that?
Well, you know, you got to get the skeletons out of the closet, and the reason why I was so brutally honest about myself was because I was writing about three other people. And, you know, if you're going to write about the other people, you got to be really nail. You have to nail it about yourself, too. because I really didn't reveal anything different about the other three or four members, but it's more in depth. You know, like I said, being in the band 15 years, I had that opportunity. So, especially about when I had my little drinking stint, my periodic drinking problem, and going away for a while and being asked to leave the band. I didn't have to put that in there, but if somebody's reading it and I can help them, if they have that kind of a problem, maybe that, you know, that's something that I achieved in that book, you know?
Well, speaking of some of those incidents, there are a ton of memorable lines in the book, but there's one that really jumped out at me because I think it seems to jump out at you. It's down on page 310, down at the bottom, and it's a quote from Monty, and it's a real simple sentence. It says, "Mark, we need you." What went through your mind when you heard that on the phone?
Well, when they asked me to join the band the second time after my 4 years of not being in the group, I was a little reluctant because of the hassles before in the band that I went through between Johnny and Joey. But then I said, you know, I enjoy and love playing the music, and that's the most important thing. And I didn't want them not to play anymore or take months to find somebody else. They had commitments. So I said to Joey, I'll meet everyone at a rehearsal studio. So the only person that showed up, which was good, was John, because that's all that was necessary. We went over 10 songs, and it was like I never left. And I kind of like got them out of a rut, fortunately, because I didn't want to see that happening to them.
Well, when you heard Monty use the word need, did that kind of strike you in your heart at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the other guy who replaced me for years deserted them out of nowhere. I just walked out without saying a word, which, you know, in the military, you're up for a court-martial. And Clem Burke from Blondie, who's a great drummer, and we're friends, and I love him and Blondie, the way he plays, but he's not a Ramones drummer. He lasted 2 days. So that's when they needed me, because they knew that I knew the songs as I was able to play it, and they knew that, you know, I got sober, so that helped. So I kind of said, okay, look, you know, I love these guys. They're in a predicament. How would I feel? You know, what would I do if I was in a band and I needed, you know, the one of the integral parts of the group to continue? So I understood what was going on, and I said yes, you know.
Yeah. Well, I want to read another quote, and this is from the chapter Dog Days. And you wrote, "There were times when music became a job, and there were times when music became a burden. But I understand now, maybe for the first time, that playing was not a job, playing was not a burden. I was born to play." That
right.
Realization came kind of late in your career. Why did it take so long?
To make me feel that way?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the beginning, when you're struggling, like anyone else in life, you know, playing in different bands and, you know, having to wait around to play and then moving the equipment yourself, you know, all the other things that come with it, just to trying to establish yourself as a known musician. That kind of takes a little time, so I was probably referring to that. But with the Ramones, it was mainly just playing. I didn't consider that a job. The thing that you have to do really is fly. You have to be in a van and tour. You have to do sound checks. You have to play the show. You have to do interviews. But you know that comes with it. And when you get into the business, you have to expect that. But I never felt it was work. When I was out of the band for 4 years to help my sobriety, I wanted to just do physical things, and that was real work. I did construction work. I did demolition work. I put up wrought iron gates in crack houses. So that I did that just to stay in shape, because I always wanted to go back to drumming. So I know what it's like to do the real heavy physical labor. And then I got back in the band again. So that really helped me, meeting different kinds of people, in life, different businesses out of the music business. So, compared to that and then playing, it's totally, totally different. Playing is just, having a good time and doing what you always wanted to do and, following your dreams,
Well, that sounds like you get to do both. This book is kind of jam-packed. I mean, every single page.
Very comprehensive.
Very comprehensive. And it's got a lot of funny little stories in it. And one of the funniest, at least to me, was when you were at a Cracker Bell and you had been dared to eat a beetle and decided not to, then you and your band went in the restaurant, had dinner, and then after you left the restaurant, an elderly lady who'd been watching you guys inside the restaurant came up to Monty and she said something to him. Do you remember what she said?
Yeah, Monty was a tour manager, and the lady went up to Monty and asked and said to the tour manager, "Monty, it's very nice of you taking care of these, retarded boys." And I don't know what politically correct term is now, but that's what the woman thought, and she was very, surprised or grateful to Monty that he was able to take care of us like that,
Well, I just had to laugh at that. It said so much, right?
There's so many things in that book to laugh about.
Oh, there really are, too. Well, that's a great segue. We always play a little music on this show, so I want to play a little bit of I Want to Be Sedated while I take a look at all the emails that are coming in. Well, telling the story of the Ramones, you also give us some great drum lessons. I love the description of the tempo changes in From a Dry Camel, for instance. You give us a look at what goes on in a drummer's mind, which leads me to ask, because we've just listened to it, how do you describe your drumming style? What is your signature?
Well, the Dry Camel song was from the first band I was in, Dust. We did two albums, and we were one of the first heavy metal bands in America at the time. But compared to the Ramones, Dust was a very technical band. The Ramones is very straight ahead, eighth notes and quarter notes. My drumming is what I can do is adapt to different styles, because when I was growing up and in my late teens and early 20s, I listened to a lot of different guys, different genres. I like jazz drummers. I like Dave Brubeck. I like Miles Davis. I like their drummers. I like Buddy Rich. I liked Ringo. I liked Keith Moon, John Bonham. Well, all these great drummers. And I just was so influenced by them. I just, I absorbed all that. And then I applied it to whatever I was going to confront in the studio. So I guess you could say I'm just adaptable.
Okay, that's a great quote. We're talking with Marty Ramone about his new book, Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramone. And you can talk with him, too. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. And a lot of you have, so let's turn to some of these emails here. This is from Beatrice in Los Angeles, and Beatrice wants to know, do you ever play with your twin brother?
Well, we definitely jam when I have the time, when I go to the studio where he lives. He's a blues enthusiast and a great, great guitar player. And I have done a few tracks with him. But, he has his own thing going, and I have my thing going. So, when we get together, if there's something that he wants to record, I would, definitely help him out.
Mandy in New York City, speaking of Dust, says, Dutch was such a great band. Why did it break up, and can we still get their albums?
Why did Dust break up? Because we were still in high school, and my father wanted that diploma on the wall. So I had to rehearse with them, and then I had to go to night school and summer school at the same time. And then we started touring with major bands throughout the United States, and we were still kind of, 16, 17 years old. So, there was so many responsibilities and obligations to other things because we weren't really grown up yet. So we had to finish high school, and then Dust fizzled out. And then the guitar player, Richie Wise, who was going on, I think he was 19 and a half, he was older than we were because he already graduated, and he produced the first two Kiss albums. And then I just started recording with other artists, and so did Kenny Aronson, the bass player. So, you can get the Dust albums on Sony Legacy. We just remastered them. Both CDs are on one CD, and there's this wonderful vinyl. So, they're still, you can get it now because it's kind of reissued.
Okay, Mandy, you can go to Sony and get those. Bilal in Austin, do you have a favorite Ramones song and a favorite Ramones album, and is there a song you don't like?
Oh, I love Rockwell High School because it was part of the movie and the soundtrack. My favorite album is Road to Ruin, the first one I was on, and the first Ramones album. What album that I don't like is Subterranean Jungle. I don't like the drum sound, and there's some good songs on there, but I didn't like the way the producer tampered with my sound. He made it sound like drum machines, so that definitely wasn't part of what the Ramones sounded like. So when I heard it, I was disgusted.
Ozo in San Francisco wants to know, is your drumming different today than it was when you were first in the Ramones?
No, I continue to play the world with my group, and we do 36 classic Ramones songs. I have Andrew W.K. as my vocalist, but I play the same way I did when I joined the Ramones, and that's the way you have to do it because that's what the songs call for. And there's a whole new generation out there that didn't see the Ramones, and it's funny, I went to China, Russia, Dubai, and Vietnam, places the Ramones would have never have dreamt of going to, and I see it everywhere. It's amazing that there's this whole new onslaught of young people who love this band, and that's why it's such a joy to continue playing, these songs. So, yeah, my drumming is still the same.
Okay. One of the iconic songs of the Ramones is about a woman. So I want to play a little bit of Sheena and then
great
talk
song
about women in punk. This is Sheena's a punk rocker. Now, in the book, you honor a number of women, Joan Jett and Debbie Harry and others. How would you describe the impact of women artists have had on punk?
Well, it's great to see women liking the genre music. Debbie Harry, I mean, she's great. I had, you know, the chance to observe the band many times in CBGBs since we all knew each other. So, you know, I mean, we all have angst. We all deal with life on life's terms. Nothing really ever changes. You know, we still have poverty. There's still wars. There's still unemployment. There's still political problems. And, you know, it's been going on since punk started, and even before that. So it's really cool to see women singing about what they feel. And you can do that in a punk song because they're 2 minutes long. You can definitely reveal your feelings in 2 minutes. And then just record it, and hopefully everyone can hear and relate to what you're singing about. And Debbie Harry did a really great job doing that. And so did Brody of the Distillers, who I really like, and Joni. She does very well too. And we did a song together called "Don't Blame Me" on one of my albums. So it was a joy to have a woman singing along with my male lead singer.
Well, actually, you have a definition in of punk in the book. You call it bold, unpolished beauty. 2 minutes to convey your message of love, hate, anger, joy, frustration, fun, sarcasm, war, or sometimes just an inside joke among friends. And I think that,
exactly,
that sums it up pretty well. I have a request from my drum instructor. I'm taking drum lessons too. He wants to know, what current punk band do you think is the best musically?
The best current punk band that's the best musically. Well, there's a band out of London that's really good. They're called The Gallows. They do some pretty interesting things. The Riverboat Gamblers drum is good. I like him. And I like the way Trey Cool from Green Day kind of, you know, goes along with what I play, you know. So, you know, there's a lot of good drummers out there.
Well, you're continually bridging a generation gap yourself. Your music, your radio show, your tours, and there were 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds listening to you last night at the book reading. Why do you think you're able to make that connection across generations when so many other bands just sort of come and go?
Well, I think it's the lyrical content. I think it's the energy that the youth sees what we did and what I continue to do today. And they want to be part of it. You know, a lot of the youth now, they're fed up with the samples and the tapes and, you know, getting ripped off at concerts where the bands or individual are just singing along the tapes. They know that. They see that. You know, they know when a performer has to rely on that. Now they're going back to the organic bands, you know, you know, they know that the bands are from the street, meaning that we were real, we weren't fabricated, and we didn't have to rely on all these crutches.
You know, there's a band here in Los Angeles, Alex Nestor, whose logo is no autotunes. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just fooling the people, and you know, I don't think that's fair.
I don't think so either, and I that's
definitely
one reason why I've been following your music since you started playing it. But
yeah,
unfortunately, since you're a radio guy, you know that the clock and the producer is telling me we have to wrap it up. So I'm going to wrap it up by reading the final paragraph in the book because it's so poignant and so hopeful. You write that John, D.D., Joey, and all the wonderful people we worked with in the Ramones, as well as our friends and other bands, were blessed and cursed by the same thing. They were way ahead of their time. The time they were looking forward to is now. Well, Marty,
exactly.
I think you are exactly right. And I'm glad that you're out there making music. And I want to thank you for joining us today and giving us this wonderful look into your soul and into the soul of punk. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
The book is Punk Rock Blitzkrieg, My Life as a Ramon. It's published by Touchstone Books. It's available in bookstores and online at Amazon.com, SimonSchuster.com, and, of course, at MarkyRamon.com. And by the way, while you're on Marky's site, order some of his great pasta sauce and get yourself a Marky Ramon apron to wear while you cook with it. I mean, how cool is that?
Thank you.
My Northern California listeners, particularly with the Ozo who emailed in, you can see Marky in person tomorrow night at the Jewish Community Theater in San Francisco on California Street. Thanks again, Marky. This has been fun.
Oh, anytime. Have a good day.
You too. We have to take a break now, and when we return, Lee Presson, founder of the one and only Lee Presson and the Nails. Don't go away. You are not going to want to miss this. This is going to be so much fun.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation UFA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA, always on the go.
We're back at Music Friday. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, and we would like to hear from you. So don't forget, you can call in 347-215-7511. You can email us. You can email us at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. I want to apologize to all of the people whose emails we didn't get to. We will forward them on to Marky, and hopefully he'll be able to answer your questions. I'm sorry, we just ran out of time. Okay, all right. We have to have a quick word from our wonderful sponsor, SolarCity. Now, solar power is a huge win-win for homeowners, but a lot of people are reluctant to take the plunge into solar, you know, because of the upfront cost. Well, with SolarCity, you can go solar for zero, that's zero upfront cost on approved credit. SolarCity will come out and install a solar system in your home for free, and you only pay for the power you use, you know, just like you do from the utility company, but you pay a lot less because the sun is making a lot of the power. SolarCity pays for the system, it insures the system, it maintains the system, and all you have to do is sit back and enjoy the savings. So if you've been ready for solar, but solar hasn't been ready for you, it is now at SolarCity, America's number one clean energy provider. How do you find out? Well, I got a number for you, a telephone number. You knew I was going to do that. So you're all ready. That number is 909-618-6937, 909-618-6937, and when somebody answers, you're probably going to talk to Tina. She's my representative there, but whoever you talk to, tell them I sent you, and you will get a discount on your bill. That's 909-618-6937. Well, Lee Presson and the Nails are an award-winning nine-piece swing band from San Francisco that has been delivering their peculiar brand of swing since 1994. Actually, peculiar is not quite the right term for what they do on stage. Better description might be cartoon swing, sledgehammer swing, sinister swing. This is all in your face, all stops out, fire breathing and nitro burning, really, really funny swing led by a cool cat who's like Betty Boop's worst nightmare. But when the horns howl and the drums beat and the cymbals clash and the dancing starts, it's your entertainment dream come true. Our entertainment dream is coming true right now because Lee Presson is here with us. Lee, thank you for joining us.
Holy smokes, that's a mountain of adjectives you poured out in front of me. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, I'm actually overeducated, so I have to do something with all those adjectives. Otherwise, I just lay around the studio.
Well, golly, I don't think there's anything left after all that. Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And holy smokes, I'm following a Ramon. That is an honor, by the way, I must say.
Well, you can actually see him tomorrow night. If you want to go in the Bay Area, you can see him tomorrow night at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco and tell him that you followed him.
That is right here in town. I may have to check that out.
That's right. Well, first of all, how was LPN, as you are often known, born or hatched or constructed in a secret basement laboratory or wherever it came from? How did the band get put together?
I've always, well, first things first, I've always loved this type of music ever since I was 6 years old, and I found a Billy May record in my mom's record collection. And so I've always wanted to learn, I've always wanted to one day have a band that could do that. And when I finally got to the point in my musical education where I figured I could tackle something like that, I just I pulled together some friends of mine that I knew, and we just sort of built it slowly over the course of 20 years until here we are now.
And what was your musical education? Did you actually go to formal music school?
I did not. No, I had a theater background. My father was a college professor at the College of Marin. He taught theater arts and appreciation of film. So my backgrounds were theater and film. Music was incidental, but it just grabbed more of my psyche as I grew older, and I wanted to learn more about it. I've never had any formal training. This is all research.
Well, that explains a lot, right? Because you're far more than a band leader. I mean, you're a musician, you're a band leader, you're a performance artist, you're a satirist, you're a ringmaster. How did you learn to do all the things
you
do on stage?
I'm also a freelance mortician and a part-time bubble pack tester.
Oh, those were nouns I didn't happen to have in the studio.
Okay, what was the question again?
How did you learn to do all the things that you actually do on stage?
Oh, that, yeah, that's just growing up on the stage, doing theater, learning from the greats, learning from the great clowns of film, Keaton, Chaplin, and then, of course, the great dancers of the MGM musicals, Gene Kelly, Fred Astaire. Then you move into the great early film comedies of the Marx Brothers, and that's it. Just all sort of glommed together, much like your opening introduction, into a wheelbarrow full of adjectives that describes best what I do.
Okay, well, I'm going to. I want to give our audience a sample of what I'm talking about. So I'm going to play a song from your new album, Balls in Your Face, and this is called The Little German Band.
Yes.
Want money when they play. I give them more to go away.
They don't play something new. They blow until they're blue.
And when you think they're through,
they sing a line or two.
Pretty melody,
la, 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 la. Like the birdies in the trees.
La, 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 la. Everybody sing with us. La 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 la. Ah, that was wunderbar.
You know, you don't hear polka music a lot outside of German clubs, but you not only give us a great polka, but you make it funny. I'll bet that's a real audience pleaser.
That's the only way to keep them listening. I mean, we're gonna put out a ballroom album. You know, you don't really get a lot of the young people aren't really much into ballroom, although some of them are, and we're very happy about that. That was the impetus for this project. But I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, that's quite all right. And actually, you're right. There are a lot of young people in the ballroom. We've got a close friend who competes in state championships in ballroom dancing. So I know that they're out there. Now, but you just mentioned young people. Who is your audience? Because when I look at your videos, there are a lot of young people in your audiences.
Yeah, well, when they were young, let's say in the mid-90s when the swing revival was happening, they were young then. They're not so young now, but they have kids now, and they're saying, what did you listen to when you were a kid? Well, we listened to Leaf Press on the Nails. Hi, kids. We used to play for your folks.
Well, that's exactly what Marky Ramone just said.
Exactly, yeah. I love the younger the audience, the more I love it. I love seeing somebody who's under 10 looking at what I'm doing and smiling, because it's underneath everything of underneath all the jokes and everything, it's jazz. And my job is to expose as many people to this fabulous American musical art form as possible.
But you do expose a lot. So let's listen to this is Lydia the Tattooed Lady.
All right.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the Tattooed Lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Yes, Lydia the Queen of Tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo.
Well, to say that song paints a picture would be an understatement. It's such fun.
I mentioned the Marx Brothers earlier, and there you go.
There you go, right. I suspect you wrote that song to be performed live. Have you ever had Lydia on stage with you?
Yes. As a matter of fact, since I work with the Hubba Hubba Review, which is a burlesque review up here in San Francisco, I work with a lot of ladies in various modes of undress. And yes, we have done that song while a live tattooed lady is on stage showing us her various works.
Well, that's exciting.
Speaking
of on stage, your stage act is really high energy, and you have lots of costumes, or lack of them, and it's very wild.
Yeah.
It is. It would be a throwback to the 20s, or even to the turn of the last century, but you've got a really modern feel to it. Now, how do you do that? How do you create this 21st century swing?
The reason why we do is to dispel the myth that jazz is boring. Jazz is not boring. It can be exciting and dangerous. And when you say I put modern tropes into old songs, it's not that it's new and old, and the fact that the old never really is that old. We do modern tunes, but we do them in an old style way, as opposed to if we took Green Day, it stuck it in 1934, what would they do with the resources available to them at that time? It's that kind of philosophy.
Well, you pull it off very well, and part of the way you pull it off is with costume, because costume is a really important part of your act. And you know,
we always dress the part. Yes.
Well, not really, because a lot of bands these days just show up with whatever they found on the floor of their bedroom that morning.
I can't stand that.
Well, which I think answers my next question: would your music be the same if you played in jeans and t-shirt?
Oh, sometimes people who are in the club post pictures of us doing sound check, and I that kind of makes me cringe a little bit, because we're not wearing our good clothes. We're just up there in regular clothes doing sound check. It's like, I don't want to show that to people. I don't want to be up in front of them. You know, no one wants to go and see a guy who's dressed just as regular as they are. You want to see a show. So I always stress the boys, you know, make sure your tie is straight, make sure you're dressed nice. Lately, we've been doing shows in matching suits. It's important, and we've got the music stands up there. It's a uniform look. They had that a lot in the 30s and 40s. It's just a great old look. I'm trying to preserve that as much as possible.
Well, I think you are. We've got some email questions here. Some of our listeners want to know some things. Mix It Up 42, and Selena says, "We need you here in the farmland. We'll trade lettuce for music."
Selena's?
Selena's.
Okay. I'll add that to the list. We'll go up there. We do a song called Picking Up the Cabbage. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. Keep in mind that lettuce is one way of saying money.
Yes, that's true. And so is cabbage.
Okay. All right. Buster Black in Oakland wants to know if he can bring his kids to your shows.
Oh, well, it all depends on the venue. Sometimes we play in bars. So if the kid's got a fake ID, you could probably get him in. In terms of subject matter, we aren't that. I'd say we're suitable for the whole family. if that's the question you're asking. As a matter of fact, I enjoy seeing kids at shows.
He may have been referring to your mention of the burlesque dancers.
Oh, that. Well, yeah. That's okay, if you don't mind some boobs every once in a while. We usually let people know if we're co-headlining with a burlesque act. That's not part of our show.
Okay, well, of course, burlesque, just so everybody knows, burlesque is not striptease. It's different, and it generally has a lot more clothes on it.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot more, just enough. enough to step it up into another area of legality. No, that would be with the Hubba Hubba Review, which we frequently work with. And if you want burlesque, they're the best in town. But we work separately from them as well.
All right. Well, I noticed that Buster Blank is in Oakland, and he's fairly close to a show that you are about to put on in Alameda. You want to tell us about that?
Sure, yeah. Capone's Speakeasy in Alameda. We played there on New Year's Eve for the very first time. And the guy, true to form, like what I said earlier, the guy said, "Now you guys are going to be exciting, right? You're not going to play any of that boring jazz, are you?" And I said, "No, none of that boring jazz." After the first set, he said, "Okay, you guys are fantastic. How late can you play?" You know, so they're having us back, and we will be there on the 21st of February.
And I should also point out to my listeners in Northern California and to Buster Black in Oakland that if you do go and see the show in Capone's, like many clubs now, has a dress code. So they want you to show up dressed for the part, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a lot more fun. Well, I want to play a little more music, and this is, you were speaking about jazz, but this is kind of a modern swing tune, at least as far as I'm concerned. It's called Lithium, and it's the bonus track on your latest album, which is called Balls in Your Face.
Yes.
Happy, 'cause today I found my friend, they're in my head. I'm so ugly, but that's okay, 'cause so are you. We're broken our mirrors, Sunday morning is every day for all I care. And I'm not scared, light my candles in a daze, 'cause I found God.
Now, that is anything but boring, right? It's certainly not boring, all right?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, in addition to the fact that it is great music, it's got some interesting lines in it. I love the line that says, light candles every day because I found God.
And I found God.
I assume you were talking to God in Lithium?
Well, this is an old Nirvana song, actually. Kurt Cobain wrote that.
He would.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, all I had to do is, so I took, that's a Nirvana song that we managed to make swing. And all I did was change the feel a little bit. I didn't change any of the notes. I didn't change any of the lyrics. All we did was just change up the feel and observe how well it works in a swing context.
Well, the music in it, you start out with the beat being carried by a stand-up bass, and then there's a drum that takes over, and it's very, very nicely done. And did it take you a while to arrange that?
I have to think about a new arrangement for a few weeks. I have to get it all worked out in my head. And then once I can get a really good picture in my head of what it's going to sound like, the rest is just scribbling.
Okay. Scribbling, huh? All right.
I just write the dots. Got to draw the dots. Okay, you play this, you play that, you play that, and bam. Okay, try this. And then most of the times it works. Sometimes it won't work. sometimes when I hear it actually played in real life, it'll go, oh, back to the drawing board on that one.
No, that's what rehearsals are for.
Exactly.
Now, you were just at the steampunk convention on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Now, how was that? Were there lots of costumes and dancing?
Oh, that was a fun show. I really enjoyed it. yeah, Her Royal Majesty's Steampunk Symposium that happens every January on the Queen Mary in Long Beach. This is their fourth annual one. They've had us down every year, and it's all the steampunk kids from Southern California. Big convention with workshops and seminars and bands at night, of which we were one. And it's just always a great time. We enjoy it. It's the highlight of our year.
Well, I looked at some of the videos there, and your fans were all decked out. They had their costumes on, and you had your costumes on, and you all looked like you were having just a great time. So I recommend that to folks next year. And also something else, when you come back into Los Angeles, you ought to check out a place called the Edison. I know we've talked about it. My listeners in L.A. know about it. It's in downtown L.A. It's kind of a two-story speakeasy hidden inside of a 1920s-era electrical generating plant and has a secret entrance on the alley. There's no sign anywhere. It sounds like it's definitely your kind of place. So if you do come to L.A., let us know. We'll have you back on. Well,
I lived in L.A. for a short time, and I moved out just as the Edison was setting up, so I'm anxious to check it out.
Okay, let us know, and we'll definitely have you back on the air. Now, I've got another one of your songs I want to play, and it's
all right.
It's one that I'm sure a lot of people can identify with. It's called "Hot for Teacher." Now, you really get going on that one, don't you?
No, I have a confession to make. We didn't write that song either.
Okay. All right. But you perform it.
Yes. That's an old Van Halen tune. And then
I
thought that one swings too. So let's do it. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting question. Actually, we've got some emails here that sort of address that. But you do covers, and I like the fact that you do covers because it's a way to show that swing and jazz is adaptable. But how do you decide which songs you want to cover?
Sometimes they just strike me. I'm listening to it. I mean, there are some songs that we do because we should. We're a swing band, and we should do songs like "Sing, Sing, Sing," and "We the Cat Show Happier." The stuff that "Pennies from Heaven," the stuff that we as a swing band should be doing to be called a swing band. And then there are other songs that just strike me that if we tweaked it just a little bit, it would work. That's the idea that's gotten me into so much trouble over the years.
Well, since you said that, I'd like to go back and play a little bit of Lithium again, and then maybe you could tell us how you went about tweaking it. So let's listen to, say, another 30 seconds or so of Lithium, and then talk about what you did with it.
Sure.
happy, 'cause today I found my friend. They're in my head. I'm so ugly, but that's okay, 'cause so are you. We're broken our mirrors. Sunday morning is every day for all I care, and I'm not scared. Light my candles in a daze, 'cause I found God.
Okay, now when you sat down to repurpose that song,
right.
How did you do it?
Took it from straight four into swing time, first of all, made it a little happier. And then when we got to the chorus, I thought, well, I can't possibly emulate Kurt Cobain's amazing tortured singing style. So rather than do that, I thought I'd just give it to the horns. And then once you give it to the horns, it makes it even a little lighter still, and suddenly it's this lovely, happy song.
Which, of course, is what lithium is supposed to do, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Does your band work with you on that, or does it all just kind of come out of your head and then you tell the band?
Because we've been working together for so long, I am aware of what they're capable of and what they can do. So when I'm writing the arrangements, I'm thinking, okay, I'll put this here for the tenor sax, and I know Randy can handle this, so here we go. So, yeah, I wouldn't give them parts that I didn't think they could play, and I know they can shine.
We've got some more emails here. We're getting tight on time, but here's a very interesting one. This is from Cordon.
Good, let's go.
In Los Angeles, and Cordon says, I looked at all of your videos, and I don't see any women in your band. Are there any women in your band?
Leslie Presley, the light of my life, the best wife I ever had. She was our female vocalist from 1995, and then she was my wife and female vocalist up until 2005, 2006, and then finally in 2010, she moved to New York, and we never saw her again. But she was our female vocalist, Leslie Presley. And I said hello to her wherever she is. Hello,
okay.
Leslie Presley. We
all
miss
right, well,
you.
we now are out of time. I want to say thank you very much for being with us. This has been lots of fun. And if you get into L.A., let me know. I'd like to come see your show and review it, too.
Oh, we just got back from there, but we'll be going back down very soon, I'm guessing.
Okay. Well, this is Lee Presson. The band is Lee Presson and the Nails. Check them out at leepresson.com. And you can also see the videos. And don't count the number of men in the videos. And you can check out News on his Facebook page. And you can get any and all of his albums on his website or at Amazon or at iTunes. You've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from Cyber Station USA, the Blog Talk Radio Network, and our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page or follow our Twitter feed, you'll get a real-time update on our guests. You can also send us suggestions on who you'd like to have on the air, and we'll take a look at them, too. And you can check out our website for that. That's musicfriday.nationbuilder.com, and we'll see what you have to say. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartlepin. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. And you can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com. And our podcasts are on iTunes. You can also listen to us on Stitcher. Be here next Friday. Two hard rock women will be on the show, Militia Vox and Eleanor Goldfield of Rooftop Revolutionaries. This show is going to rock. Check out our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you on the guests. Good night, everybody. Have a great musical weekend. We're going to leave you with Hot for Teacher by Lee Presson and the Nails, and we'll see you all next week.